May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that in all of your lifetime, maybe particularly in the moments ahead, your lives will be filled with the grace, the mercy, and the peace which come alone from the God we have come to know from Holy Scripture as the God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is by God's grace, as you know, that we receive that which we do not deserve. God's love, his forgiveness, his blessing and promise and assurance someday of eternal life with him in heaven. It is through God's mercy that we do not receive that which we do deserve, his wrath and displeasure, punishment temporally and eternally. And as God's grace and mercy are made real to us in our journey in life through word and sacrament, the peace that passes all understanding, even that of the angels, becomes ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today is a special day. It is the day that is observed as the Confession of St. Peter. And on this day, certainly, we do well to pay attention to the confession of St. Peter when he said to Jesus, "You are the Christ." And we do well also to pay attention to the words we heard read just a few moments ago from the lips of our Lord himself. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, for me, and for the gospel, will save it." This is also a special day because it's the conclusion of the symposium which has been going on for some days now here at the seminary. And as those of you who have been awake the last several days are quite well aware, the theme of the symposium has been atonement. I share with you, I think fittingly, the topic of atonement in this message today, coming from a number of portions of Holy Scripture, most prominently Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, these words: "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." Let's take just a brief look at this thing called atonement, not necessarily an everyday household word in our lives, but instituted by God in connection with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. On that day, Yom Kippur, the high priest spread the blood of the bull and of the goat on the golden cover of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies of the temple. That action was a significant requirement of the ritual required for atonement. Listen to these words from Leviticus chapter 16, noting especially the references to mercy seat, as those words are translated in this reading. Here's a description of how this process is supposed to happen. "Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself. He shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar," a little bit different from this altar, "before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense, beaten small, and he shall bring it inside the veil and put the incense on the fire before the Lord. that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony. Why? So that he does not die. This is serious business. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger. 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleannesses. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house and for all the assembly of Israel. A little more difficult, a little more different from conducting the liturgy in the divine service today. But nonetheless, fundamental and foundational in the whole matter of the removal of the sin of the people from themselves. According to the theological word book of the Old Testament, the cover on the Ark of the Covenant, a word kaparet, which was translated often as mercy seat, would be more expressively referred to as a place of atonement, especially since it's derived from the root to atone. That's a place where the blood was spread. Again, why? Because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel, because of the transgressions and all their sins. That was atoning action. The blood of the animals was required at this place in exchange for nothing less than the very life of the worshipers. The blood of innocent life, what did the animals do to deserve to be killed? The blood of innocent life was given for guilty life. The lives of the people with all their transgressions and all their sins. The distinction of this place of atonement is reinforced also in the Septuagint, which uses the Greek word hilasterion, translated as a place or object of propitiation, to refer to that cover as the place of atonement. I think that's particularly significant because the same Greek word, hilasterion, is used in reference to Jesus in Romans 3:25, which translates, whom God set forth as hilasterion. That word translated variously as a propitiation, an expiation, a sacrifice of atonement, or as I'm suggesting today, the place of atonement. This place in Romans 3 shows us the continuance of the place of atonement as the place where God accepts the sacrificial blood in exchange for our guilt. For quite simply, but vitally, significantly, the place of atonement for us is Jesus. Christ on the cross is the place of atonement for us. His blood, not the blood of bulls, not the blood of goats, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, shed for us. He placed upon himself as the high priest. Why? Because of our uncleannesses, because of our transgressions, because of all our sins. It's written in Hebrews chapter 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. This atonement, where we become one with God, our sins and transgressions are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. That atonement becomes ours by grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, in Romans 3, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Jesus died and rose again that we might be at one with him. The blood of the animal was required in exchange for the life of the worshiper. The blood of Jesus, innocent blood, given for the guilty life, yours and mine. By the grace of God, we receive this atonement, and it is renewed in our lives daily through word and sacrament. We receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sin. We are baptized into his death that we might also receive his life. Finally, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this message cannot be withheld from the world in which we live. The message is clear. Christ is the place of atonement. Salvation is found in no one else. It's written in Leviticus 17. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. There is no salvation unless the blood of Jesus redeems one's life. The world, the country in which we live, believes there are many paths to eternity. But the message of God, as he has revealed it to us in Holy Scripture, is absolutely clear. Atonement is received only at the place of atonement. God is consistent throughout history, from the lid on the Ark of the Covenant to finally and fully the blood sacrificed by his Son on the cross. That's the only way to atonement, through Christ our Lord. It is our calling as Christian people. It is our unique calling as pastors and deaconesses. It is our vocational calling in all of life to be faithful and fervent with communicating this message by word and by deed. We have the place where the world needs to meet to be right with God. That place of atonement is Christ Jesus our Lord. As we come again today to the place of atonement, we receive that forgiveness that God so graciously and freely gives us through the blood of Christ by faith in him. My encouragement to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, even my evangelical exhortation to you, is that you simply not absorb the teaching and knowledge that you have received and will continue to receive, not only at this symposium, but in other opportunities you have to come face to face with this gracious God in his holy word. That you not simply absorb it and saturate your life with it, but that in addition to that, you take this teaching and become more and more convicted than ever before of God's atoning work in Christ, and then, by the Holy Spirit's conviction, by his leading, by his guiding, by his directing, that you and I, sensitively, humbly, boldly, courageously, unapologetically engage the world and the people of the world with the gospel of Christ, bringing the people who have yet not come to know the place of atonement, the people who have yet not come to Jesus, so they can receive that great exchange, as you and I have received it, of the innocent blood of Jesus Christ our Lord for their guilty lives. May God fill you and bless you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, with the knowledge of his forgiving love, and may that knowledge empower you and motivate you and me to lives of service to his glory and his glory alone. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.